The rest of you, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we're still on chapter 6.
It's a good chapter.
It's a good chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I guess I can give a respectful warning. Today we're going to be talking about errors. We've been looking at errors in the church of Corinth, lessons from it. Today I'm going to talk about the errors concerning the body. Errors concerning the body, and we will be talking about sexual matters. So if you have children tuning in or hear that you don't want listening to this, then, you know, take them to Sunday school. But if you do allow them to stay, I do want to encourage you to talk to them about this subject. Really, the truth is, it's a matter, it's a serious matter that needs to be spoken about.
Amen.
The subject of sex, I think, and the sin of fornication is kind of pushed to the side in a lot of our churches sometimes. We just kind of want to avoid it, maybe, and I don't think that's the best thing to do. So we will be talking about the subject on errors about or concerning the body, and we're really going to focus on the error of fornication. Dad, could you pray for us this morning before we begin?
Lord, I thank you for the blessing you've given us a safe trip here, and I ask you to bless those that are not able to make it, listening online. Lord, I ask you to bless this Sunday school hour. God, give us your words and help the preacher, Lord. Help him to have the right words. And God, bless our hearts and bless all our plans. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So again, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we will be beginning in verse 12. But I do want to remind you, I think that we act sometimes in our church that, you know, this is a subject that we can't speak about. Sometimes maybe because of shame, as though it's too dirty to mention. Sometimes we pretend that if we're spiritual enough, right, that it's not gonna affect us. And so I think for different reasons we don't like the approach on this subject. I mean, and I think it's natural. I think it's just general. We don't like talking about this subject openly because there's shame associated with it. And like I said, sometimes when we think we're spiritual enough, we wouldn't be affected by it. But the truth is, we're all affected by it. It is a battle in our mind. And what I do want to encourage is that you talk to especially your children about it, because they don't know what to do. And if this is something that affects you, and if you're a strong Christian, it still affects you, they don't know how to go about it. They don't know what to do. You need to approach them, I think. That this is the fornication is one of the most far-reaching sins that we encounter, and it must be confronted openly. That's why I do want to mention that. And I think it's strange that we warn our children. We give big warnings of our children, right? We tell them, beware of drugs, right? Stay away from drugs. Say no to drugs. We really push that. Right? Or don't ever get into a car with people you don't know. You know, we push that. Hey, don't take things from strangers. If he talks to you about a puppy and wants to go show you a puppy, don't do that. We warn our kids about these things, and that's very good. But what about fornication? Do we talk to them about that? Do we warn them about that? And this is, I think, probably even a bigger, more damaging sin than these other ones. I think fornication has damaged more lives than abuse of different substances.
Sure.
Sexual sins are damaging lives. It's killing babies, and it's damaging families. It's ripping up and tearing up hearts, and people can't live like they should live because of the sins of fornication. And so it needs to be spoken about, and needs to be spoken about to our children, and that is just one thing I want you to consider when we go through this, you need to speak to your children about it. Because this is real. And it affects your children probably before you expect it to. There's a study that says that most children are exposed to pornography by the age of 12. And some as young as 7 years old. And your children, they don't know. If you don't warn them, if you don't guide them, they don't know what to say, right, what to do, how to act in that moment when it comes up. And so I do think we need to start teaching our children, and I think at a young age, obviously it's a hard thing to do because you don't want to, you know, jump into something that they're not ready for, but you also want to tell them so that they can be prepared. So it's a hard subject to approach and it's a hard subject to talk about with your children, but you need to make an effort to do it because it's necessary. You could just tell them things like, hey, don't let anybody take their clothes off in front of you. Don't ever look at somebody naked. Just, you know, little things like that. Give some clear teaching so that they at least have an idea. Prepare them for what's going to happen, you know, in a way. And that's something we should consider. Because sexual sin is a real problem.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a problem in our churches since the beginning. We see in Corinth it was a problem. They were in the era of fornication. We've already gone through chapters 5 and the era of fellowshipping with somebody who's in open rebellion and open sin, especially when it comes to fornication. But now we're going to talk about the errors concerning the body. So we'll start up in verse 12. Now the two major errors I think I want to talk about concerning the body is first, I think they had like two groups in Corinth about the body. One thought, the body's meaningless. Oh, the body, right? The body and the soul are separate. God saved the soul. And the body's just, this doesn't have that much importance to it. We can do what we want with it, do what we can with it, because the body doesn't really affect you and it doesn't affect your spirit. So your body's free to do whatever you want with it. There's one mentality. And then the other error was the extreme on the other side, which is to say the body's evil and everything the body wants and everything the body desires is bad and we have to suppress it. We have to stop it, right? The spirit is good and the body is physical. It's evil. And so all these normal desires that our physical body has must be denied and those can hurt, especially in marriage, right? And so this other group might think salvation is meant to escape the body. And they're mistaken because the body is part of your salvation. And we need to know how to use the body. And so Paul talks about these errors concerning the body. So first, the body is not for indulgence. The body's not for indulgence. And this is what we see in verse 12 and 13. I think here Paul is dealing with three different false ideas that they had, and he's dealing with them, and he confronts them about it, and he explains it, and he answers them with that word, but, at the end of all three. The three false ideas are, all things are lawful unto me, all things are lawful for me, and meats for the belly, and belly for meats. It's like an excuse they were giving for why they could do what they wanted to do with their bodies. All things are lawful. Paul comes back with, but. Oh, all things are lawful, but. And so Paul gives his argument there. He says in verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. So you say, all things are lawful to me. They're saying this, but not all things are expedient. That doesn't mean all things are good. And we kind of mentioned this in this last time, where not everything is good for you. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Not everything is good for you. And if you have this idea that all things are lawful unto me, you can get yourself hurt. You can get yourself messed up when you think this way. This idea is not correct. He says, all things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And that's an interesting thought to me that, you know, here you have people who are kind of thinking, oh, well, I can do all things, right? Freedom, 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 right? Their theme song is that liberty, 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 liberty. You know, that's their theme song. They're Christians and they're free and we can do anything. But the interesting thing is that Paul says that even though you think you may be free to do what you want, that what you might want is actually going to bring you to bondage. In other words, your freedom allows you the power to jump into bondage again. You say, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, but Paul warns, hey, be careful, because that freedom of yours that you have will get yourself messed up and you'll jump right back into bondage where you're not supposed to be. So be careful, this freedom and liberty that you want to use and exercise, be careful. Paul never, never says and never acts like we can just do whatever we want and there's no consequences. And that's how they wanted to act. They wanted to think, oh, my body, I can do what we want. We can do what we want with our body. And Paul never gave you that argument. In any other, every time he mentions this, all things are lawful unto me and all things are lawful. That's in 1 Corinthians. That's an argument they had because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. And Paul refutes it. He says, but you, that's dangerous for you. Let me just read a couple of things. That's Romans chapter 6. We know these verses, but I'll just read them because they're good to think about right now. Romans 6, 1 and 2 talks about continuing in sin that grace may abound. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No. No. That is not what God wants from you. To continue in sin because you're saved, because you have the freedom, because grace comes free to you. No. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Again, Paul gives this warning. You can't just do what you want with your body. The body is not for indulgence of your carnal desires. That's not what the body is for. Verse 13 of chapter 5 in Galatians says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That's not what the body is for. The body is not for you to just indulge in all those things that your body wants. There's consequences, and there's real consequences for your actions. And therefore, if all things are lawful for you, you gotta be careful with what you do, because not all things are expedient. And you don't want to bring yourself under the power of somebody else. Now this is interesting, right? He talks about being brought under the power of any. You say, oh, my body and I'm free. And yet, you can be controlled by those things that you get into. You'll start taking some substances that are gonna catch you and grab you, and they have a hold on you. And it's so hard to get away from them. Drugs, alcohol, these things will run your life. They will have a power hold on you. Amen. Pornography? This also. These are real things that you think that maybe sometimes, oh, it's not that big of a deal, but they will grab a hold of your life, and all of a sudden, that freedom that you thought you had, you don't really have. You're in bondage again. And Paul says, be careful with these false ideas. All things are lawful for me. So then I think he mentions another one here, because he says meats for the belly and the belly for meats. And that just sounds like, oh, meats for the belly and belly for me. God made the belly to eat meat, right? God made meat for the belly. I mean, this is natural. The body does what the body wants. The body wants food, you give it food. The body wants sex, you give it sex. It's just a normal thing. And Paul says, no, no. He says, but God shall destroy both it and them. So God is going to destroy the belly and the meats. That's not a big deal. But what you do with your body is different, he says. He says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Your body is not for that. Your body is for the Lord. But I do think that this is the kind of thinking that they had. The thinking that it's normal. It's normal. It's just like eating. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Because I think that this has become the thought. It's become normalized in our culture. This sexual activity just is a normal thing. And again, when I mentioned that it's kind of a subject that we shy away from in church, and obviously it's not something that we never talk about, but it is a subject that we kind of shy away from. It's so interesting that we shy away from it so easily, but the truth is, out in society and out in the world, it is just bombarded. It's talked about all the time. Your kids are getting talked about it at school. When they're 10 years old, all it takes is one other kid in that classroom to be messed up about sex for him to start spreading it all over to everybody else. And there's enough of those kids to be spreading it around in school. So don't shy away from this subject. This subject is forefront in the battlefield. It's right there. It's in their face. It's in your face. It's in all of our faces. And it's become normalized. It's not a big deal. It's just like eating and drinking. I mean, come on. It's the body. The body does what the body wants, right? That's how it's acted. Proverbs 30 verse 20 says, "Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done more no wickedness." The adulterous woman, she is doing this so much, it's just like eating to her. Oh, you eat, you wipe your mouth, and that's all. You go on with your day. It's the same thing with an adulterous woman who's living in sex. It's just a normal thing. You do it and you don't think anything about it. It doesn't bother you. This is the life that we live in right now, the society we live in. People are having sex as much as they want with whoever they want and they don't care about it. They don't feel bad. The only restrictions they have are if it's going to cause them, you know, some type of a sickness or something, right? Right? That'll hinder some. But if there was no hindrances like that, it would be even more rampant and more wild. You know, 70%, this was back in 2021, 70% of couples lived together before they got married. 70%! In 1971, it was 10%. In 2021, it was 70%. People living together before they got married. Sex, and now, I'm telling you, it's incredible how much it's talked about, and I'm sure we all know. So again, why we shy away from it so much is kind of baffling, but we all know because you just spend some time with your coworkers and you'll hear what their subjects are, you'll hear what they're talking about. They're talking about who they can meet on this app to see who they can be with that night. Really? That's how normalized it is. But this is an error. And when this thinking comes into the church, it's an error that needs to be corrected. Yeah. We have to say no. Yeah. And we can say no. We can. And we need to fix it. So don't believe that. Don't think that for a second. Oh, meat's for the belly, belly for meats. I mean, come on. It's just normal. It's natural. We can do it. No. God did not make the body for us to just indulge in its desires. This is misusing Christian liberty. The body is actually for the Lord. And that's what the Lord said. That's what he says right there, right? The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So, he makes one thing clear. The body is not for fornication. Okay, so you say, well, meats for the belly and belly for meats. The body is made to eat. Yes, okay. But the body was not made for fornication. God, you say, well, God put this desire in us. Yes, it's true. It is a natural desire for you to want sex. But God made a way for you to have it. It's a designed purpose for you to be able to share sex with somebody else. And that is in marriage. And we'll get to that later on. But it's not made for fornication. Not made for you to just go sleep around. Or sleep around before marriage. That's not how God made the body. The body is, though, for the Lord. So when the body made it, He made it for the Lord. And you should follow God's design for the body. And this goes in all aspects of the body. Like I said, there becomes a lot of confusion about what the body is for and how the body should be. Well, let's get it straight. God made the body. And how He designed it is how you ought to live. That goes back to gender, male and female. If God made you male, be a male. It's that simple. And your life is going to be much better if you follow God's design. Now, if you run away from God's design and you want to rebelliously do what you want to do, that's your decision. You can do it. But trust me, life is not going to be easier for you. Life is going to be a lot harder for you. It would be better for you just to submit to God's way and do what He designed your body to do. And so the body was not made for fornication. Now he says there in 14, and I think he's going on to, you see, God is going to destroy meats and He's going to destroy the belly. That part is clear. But what's special about your body is that God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up with His own power. God is going to raise up your body. In other words, your body is not meaningless. No, you can't say as a Christian, my body has no meaning. It's just not important. I can do whatever I want with my body. No, God has a purpose for that body right there. So don't mess it up. Don't just act like it's not important. What you do with your body does affect you spiritually.
Amen.
And how you treat your body and what you do with your body right now will probably have real consequences when your body is raised up later.
Right.
And so if these Corinthians were confused and they were thinking, well, God saved my soul, God saved our spirit, but our body is just meaningless, we can do whatever we want with our body. And they thought, no, there's no resurrection. I mean, it's all a spiritual thing. This Christianity, it's all a spiritual thing. And we're all focused on the spiritual, right? This body is not important. Paul has to correct that. And he says, no, your body is going to be raised up. And he talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 also. He's confirming, listen, y'all guys are in an error. Y'all are thinking that there is no resurrection. No, there is a resurrection. So stop thinking that your body is just meaningless and pointless and there's no worries or no cares about it. No, your body is important. As a Christian, your body is important. And what you do with your body is important. Verse 15 says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. No, please, no, Paul is saying. Come on. Really? Are we going to do this? Your body is a member of Christ. Don't get that wrong. Don't mistake that. Your body is a member of Christ. And so what are you going to do? You're going to take the member of Christ. You're going to take what is Christ and you're going to join yourself to a harlot. I like that. You know, God forbid. You know, maybe that's not the exact application but maybe there are some things forbidden for Christian. God forbid you do this.
Yeah.
Verse 16 says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Two shall be one flesh. The body becomes a bond. When you join yourself sexually with somebody else, it creates a bond. This is what God made the body and sex for. It was for two bodies to be joined together in a real bond. That was like a long lasting permanent thing that God created sex for, so that these bodies would be joined together in a permanent bond until death do us part. And when you go around and play with that and forget about that, you're going to join yourself and bond yourself with this woman. And then you're going to go join yourself and bond yourself with this woman. And that is going to become a real problem in your life. Just think about if you grab a piece of wood, nice piece of wood, and you glue it all up, glue it all together with another piece of wood and let that dry. That bond seals. Now go and try to break those apart. What happens? I mean, it's really hard to break those apart without breaking things, without real destruction. And that's the same thing when you bond, when you are joined physically with another person, that bond is real, and it's a hard thing to fix. It's a hard thing whenever it gets broken. It's a hard thing to fix fornication. It's a hard thing to repair and pick up the pieces of sexual sin. And that's what Paul is warning about. He's saying y'all are in a real error. The way, what y'all are doing with y'all's bodies, because y'all just think there's no, nothing, it doesn't matter, it's not a big deal, is a real mistake, because this is a real problem.
Amen.
God made that body so that you could join yourself to your wife and have a real bond for life. And if you don't follow that design, you're going to have real problems. Not to mention, verse 17 says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. What he's talking about, right, is that bond, you're bound, you have a union, a real union also with Christ, and now you're taking what union you have with God spiritually and with your physical body, you're joining yourself with harlots, you're just creating a real big mess in the body of Christ. And that's not becoming for Christians. Again, that's just not what Christians should live like.
Amen.
There is a standard. There is a desire that God has for how Christians should live, and you cannot ignore that in your Christian walk. You can't just pretend like none of that matters. It does matter.
That's right.
And so in verse 18, he tells us, listen to his warning. He says, flee fornication. Flee it. And we have, probably all of us, we've probably all been guilty of playing around with fornication. You play around with fornication. Those movies that you watch, that we watch, and again, while I'm talking, you know, I'm mainly focused, I guess, as far as my words come out, is men. But I know this is a problem for women also. But, I mean, I think it's a bigger problem for men. So when I say men, or when I talk about it, you know, apply it both ways. Men and women have this problem. We all really have this problem. The things that we watch are playing with fornication many times. The things that we see, those things you scroll through, those phones are so dangerous right now. They're so dangerous, and it's so easy to get caught up in that. He says, flee fornication. Run from it. I think we have to really consider if we think this is a big deal or not. Is fornication really that big of a deal? Is sexual sin really that serious? Well, Paul says, run from it.
Amen.
And we're playing with it. I think that's an error. I think that's a mistake. It's a mistake in our churches. It's a mistake in our minds. Fornication is a real problem.
Right.
He says, it's a unique problem. He says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Remember, God created your body for a special purpose. Your body is meant for something, if you're gonna join yourself sexually, it's for one partner. It's for your wife. So that when that happens, God joins it permanently for life. And it's a beautiful thing. That's what it's meant for. And when you don't do that and you fornicate, you are sinning against your own body and the desire that God has for that body. And it's a real problem. It's a unique problem that other sins that you commit don't bring with them. That's what he says. So it's a real problem. And it leaves real damage. It really does. Now, just to mention a few. There's a spread of sexually transmitted diseases. It says that over 1 million new STDs are contracted every day worldwide. 1 million every day. Known. This is horrible. But that sexual sin, it really is damaging. It's damaging to your body. Sexual sin damages your body. And if you sleep with that person, everybody they've slept, you're sleeping with also. It really does affect. It really does have consequences. And many of these STDs don't have any cure. And it could be a long, lifelong suffering. You know how many marriages it breaks up? Sexual sin breaks up marriages and families, destroys them. Right. It destroys them. A family that can be strong and united and together, and we can raise children, and the children can have good, you know, both parents living and teaching them and guiding them and have a healthy relationship. All of this gets destroyed because of sexual sins in the marriage. It's a real problem. It's a real problem. Sin is a very unique, sexual sin is a very unique one that hurts. It hurts emotionally, right? And psychologically. I mean, people actually, it affects you. It affects you. The guilt and the shame and the depression, the emotional numbness, it's all real. It's real. You have sex right now and you're just playing around. When you get married, you know that you're going to have problems from all the things that you did in your youth and you were just having fun. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect your wife. It's going to affect your confidence. It's going to affect your confidence before God. It affects you mentally, emotionally. Unplanned pregnancies, I understand that there's 85% of the abortions in the U.S. are a result of just unwanted pregnancies outside of marriage. They're just... And you see, that's what causes abortions. Abortions are caused... It's because the main problem we have of abortions is because people are having sex outside of marriage. And that's with all the anticonceptives that we have. This is how bad it is. That even with all this, there's so many abortions going on. And that's because of sexual sin. That's because of fornication. And we want to play around with it and pretend like it's not a big deal. It really is a big deal. Just then, financial hardship. I mean, again, single parent homes face much greater financial struggles, and it's a real problem. It's a problem in our financials. I mean, basically, it's just everywhere you look, sexual sin creates a real problem in your life. It messes your life up, and it just makes it so hard. And we wonder why we're so depressed all the time and why this generation is the most depressed that we have. The most depressed generation. The one that has the most, the wealth and interesting things and availability and all opportunities. They have the most depression. It's because of sin.
Right, man. Amen.
And specifically, I think a lot of it is because of sexual sin. And so we get back to his point. Verse 19. He says, what? And Paul is still again in shock. And I don't know, when you read this letter, just think about how shocked he is. God forbid, how shocked he is. How can it be that you're just living this way and making excuses for it? He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Listen, your body belongs to God. Your body does not belong to you. And if you think your body belongs to you, that's a mistake. That's an error that you've made, Christian friend. Amen. Your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Amen. Now, if you think your body belongs to you, you might not be saved. If you're saved, you better know your body does not belong to you. Because listen, he says, you are bought with a price in verse 20. You are bought with a price. He doesn't say your body belongs to you, your body doesn't belong to you because God created you. He says, your body doesn't belong to you because Christ paid a price for you. Amen. To save you from your sins. So listen, it doesn't go both ways. You can't say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, He's my Savior, He saved me from my sins. And then you can't say also, but I have my own body, my own will, I can do whatever I want. No! You have to choose one or the other. Either you give yourself to Jesus Christ, He saves your soul, and then you don't belong to yourself anymore. Or you don't want to give yourself to Jesus Christ, and you can keep your body, and you can keep your decisions, and do whatever you want, but you don't belong to Him, and you won't be saved by Him. So don't fool yourself. Your body does not belong to you, it belongs to God. And He makes it very clear. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In case that wasn't clear, right? He wants you to glorify God in your body. And in your spirit, which are God's. Which I think the spirit side, everybody kind of agreed on. Yeah, I mean, our spirit is God's. We should glorify God with our spirit. But the confusing part was, what do we do with our body? Your body does matter. And what you do with your body does matter. Because your body belongs to God. And so you should glorify God with your body. I think Christians should ask, of everything you do, is this glorifying to God? Now, does that sound extreme? I don't know. How much does your body belong to God? He gives God ownership. God owns it. Who rules your body? God rules your body? Well, do you care what God thinks about how you dress? Do you even care? Do you care about how God thinks you should have your hair? Do you care about what God thinks about tattoos or piercings? What do you really care about what God thinks? About your laziness and gluttony? About substance abuse? All, how you dress and fashion and all of that comes into play here.
Amen.
It really does. Amen. Your body is not your own. It's God's. And these Corinthians were in the error thinking that their body didn't matter. It's not a big deal. What we do with our body, it's not that important. And Paul is having to fix it. And he's trying to say, no, your body is a big deal. It belongs to God and you should glorify God with it.
Amen.
So your body is a big deal. Listen, you only have one body. And you only have one life to give. And that's your one chance to glorify Him with it.
Amen.
So don't waste that chance you have. Don't waste it. Don't defile it. So I'll try to go through this quickly here in chapter 7. God's design for the sexual desire. Because again, the mistake in the body, then you get people on the spiritual side thinking, oh yes, we're spiritual, and so everything the body wants and everything the body desires must be bad, and we just have to separate ourselves from it, distance ourselves, right? And so sex must not be good either, and so let's just stay away from sex. So maybe let's not get married. Yeah, how about that? How about trying what does it say? Doctrines of devils. What do? They forbid marriage. How well does that go? Oh, that doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. You have no idea all the secrets that there are with those religions that forbid marriage, because there's a whole lot of sexual problems that come with it. Because sex is something that God made. There is a real desire that people have, and God has a plan for it and a purpose for it. So just trying to pretend like it doesn't exist isn't going to help anything. Isn't going to fix the problem. And so we say, oh, well, it's good then not to ever get married, not to ever touch a woman. Okay, let's talk about that. Paul says, now concerning the things whereof, in chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. It would be great for you to never touch a woman, want a woman, desire a woman, get married. It would be really good for you to never get married. That's what Paul says. It really would be. In fact, in verse 6, he says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. He says, for I would that all men were even as myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, one after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Listen, the body can be fully devoted to God. And that's really true. You can fully devote your body to God. But let me tell you this. It is a gift that you have to have. It's a gift. You have to be able to abstain from sexual lust, desire, and fornication. You just have to. And listen, if you don't have the gift, then you're in trouble. And Paul wants to make that very clear. The gift of celibacy is really a gift. And some people have the gift and other people don't have the gift. So don't try and everybody go be celibates. It's not for everybody. But also don't look down on those that are. If somebody has the gift, don't think, oh, well, they're never going to be accomplished in life. Oh, they're going to stay single for the rest of life. That's horrible. Poor people. No. The truth is, if you have the gift, great, you can use your body for the full glory of God. And so don't talk bad about people that are in that situation, that do have the gift. But not everybody is called to this. Not everybody can do this. Right? And that's why Paul says in verse 2, nevertheless, it would be good if you didn't ever have to go through that. You didn't ever have any lustful desire. If you were so spiritual, or if you just never had that inclination, never had a sexual desire or thought come through your mind, that would be great. That would be great. But if you're normal, right, that's not going to happen. And so he says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. God provided a way for you to use that sexual desire that you have according to His plan.
Yeah, sure.
He really did. Verse 9, it says, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And I love that reference to fornication with burning. Listen, you jump into fornication, it's like burning. It's a real problem and a real mess. So remember, if you can't live that way, you need to get married so that you don't burn and you don't commit fornication and you don't live in sexual sin, because that is destructive. And God made a way for you to live correctly. So if you do have that desire, sexual desire, And like I said, children are going to start wondering, thinking, and having these sexual desires. What do we do? How do we talk to them? What do we teach them? Well, we teach them that God made a way for you to be able to enjoy that. It's through marriage.
Amen.
It's through marriage. Wait until you're married. You know that's possible. You can do it.
Yeah.
Encourage it. It's a good thing. Again, the body was not made for fornication. And so to avoid fornication, you should get married. Now, what you should know about your body in marriage is that in marriage, you share ownership of your body. Verse 4 says, let's read verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Okay? We need to satisfy our mutual sexual needs in marriage. You cannot deny it. You should not deny it. That's why they're getting married. If you're getting married, it's because you want to avoid fornication. So why are we now going to defraud our partner, our husband, our wife, because we don't feel like it, or we don't want to, or whatever excuse we want to have? Be careful, because Paul warns us. Now, look at what he says. The wife, verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. So, you now have owner. So now not only does God own you, but whenever you get married, now your husband or your wife owns you also.
Amen.
So yes, consider who you marry, because it's a big deal.
Amen.
It's a big deal. You're giving ownership of your body to somebody else.
Right.
And you're actually signed saying, yep, I'm yours. I'm yours. So really, teach your kids how to consider who they're going to marry. Teach them. It's a big deal who you marry, because they own you. Just like you'll own them. It's a real thing. It's a mutual thing. It's a bond, but it's real. You own each other.
Amen.
Verse 5 says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent. Consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves unto fasting and prayer. And come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. He's saying, hey, be careful, because if y'all in marriage start defrauding each other, listen, this is a real problem. If in your marriage you are not satisfying your sexual desires, your sexual needs, your marriage is in problems and is in trouble, and you have to get that right. I think this is another error that the church and society has fallen into, where, well, I don't want to, and we don't have to do anything, and it's just like, you can go months without having sex. There's something wrong in your marriage.
That's right.
Y'all should want to satisfy each other's sexual needs. And he says, if y'all do have to separate yourselves for a little while, because you want to give yourself to prayer and fasting, okay, but don't do it for too long, because you're going to be tempted of the devil.
True.
Now, this is no excuse. Husband or wife, if your spouse is not satisfying you sexually, you have no right to go satisfy with anybody else. There's no right. But you who are defrauding the other one, make it known you are putting them through severe temptation. Real temptation. And I don't think you should be excused either. But do remember that. You share ownership of your body in marriage. And so, God created your body, and it's not to be ruled by your passions, but by the purpose that He gives it. And He gives you a purpose in your body. And even in marriage. Even in marriage, He owns your body, and He wants you to use your body correctly. And it's true. While you share ownership of your body, you can't dedicate yourself completely to the Lord as you would want to, because you gotta satisfy your spouse. And there's more to do. But if you're single and you can live celibate, then you can serve God with your whole life. But either way, God is the owner of your life and you should live your life for Him completely. Married or not, He owns you. So do right by God with your body. That'll be all for this morning. We'll get back, July or something, and continue on our series in 1 Corinthians.